What's up, my friends? It's Rick Mulready here. Listen, if you are feeling like you're struggling to keep up with all the AI opportunities, or maybe you're wondering how to even start leveraging AI in your business without all the headaches, the AIify newsletter is designed with you in mind, my friend. Every week, I simplify AI for you, showing you how to apply it and integrate it into your business so that you can work less and profit more. As one of my readers put it, it's a must-have for any entrepreneur who wants to get more done in less time. And they said there's a lot of noise out there and your information is up to date, yet just feels more calm and more relatable. So I want to invite you to sign up for the AIify newsletter. It's free. Just go to rickmulready.com/newsletter. That's rickmulready.com/newsletter.
I'd like to fast forward to success. So we fast forward to the end of the launch and we hit our goal, whatever it is. And then we just stop and ask ourselves, how do I think I will feel when I have that six-figure launch or I hit whatever the goal is? Whatever that feeling is that you think, is it successful? I'll feel worthy. I'll feel smart. I'll feel enough. What is that feeling that we're chasing? Because the reason we do all of the things we do is a feeling. I will feel free. Like most of us started the business because I wanted to have freedom. I wanted to feel free. I wanted to feel in control of my destiny. So what is the feeling that we're chasing and how can we access it now so that we don't need the launch to give it to us?
All right. Welcome, my friend, to today's episode of the Art of Online Business podcast. Rick Mulready here. And if you've been listening to the show for any period of time, you probably know my stance on live launching. I am not a fan of, you know, only live launching in your business once or twice a year. And that's all you do. You're putting all your eggs in those baskets and, you know, hoping that everything goes really well. I much more subscribe. And this is how, you know, how I coach our accelerator members. If they're wanting to launch, it's like, hey, go ahead and do your few launches a year, but, you know, also be offering whatever your program is that you're selling on an evergreen basis. So it's a combination of the two. I live launched, you know, just solely live launched for years. And, you know, I've also done evergreen and all that, but, you know, I used to experience launches as being super stressful. So many moving parts, a big energy spike during the launch. And then after the launch, it was a huge come down. And as somebody who, you know, has struggled with depression and anxiety over the years, that come down after the launch used to kind of bury me for a little while. And so I think this, and this is a topic I hear all the time. I'm always talking to people about who are going through launches and they're stressed out and, you know, that quote unquote launch roller coaster that people talk about during the cart open period. Well, this is exactly why I wanted to do an episode about this topic. And I wanted to bring on an expert in this specific topic. And her name is Tavana Denise. Tavana is just an amazing person. She's a former physical therapist. She's a master certified life coach and trauma informed business mentor who specializes in helping coaches not be miserable during their launches. And she has a program called Launch Therapy, which is 90 days to shift your launch from one that is overwhelming, complicated, and stressful into one that's fun, simple, and brings in clients that you cannot wait to work with on a repeatable basis. And we're breaking all that down here today. Tavana shares exactly how you can remove that stress and overwhelm when it comes to launching and how she views launches and how she helps clients overcome the, you know, this stigma that often comes with doing a quote unquote big live launch. And towards the end of the episode here, by the way, I asked Tavana what she's seeing in terms of what's working right now with her clients when it comes to launching. This is a great episode. Tavana is amazing. So without further ado, let's go hang out with Tavana Denise. So you're telling me that we can launch without all the stress and exhaustion and burnout that, like, is that that's possible? You're telling me it's possible. You're telling us right now it's possible.
Yes, I'm telling you, all of you that are listening, that it's possible. It really is.
I stopped a lot. You know, January of 2023 is 9 years that I've been in online business. And so I've launched so many times over the years. And I decided at the beginning of sometime in 2021, I'll decide, you know, I have no desire to launch anymore. And for a whole bunch of reasons, right? Like I enjoyed the energy of it, but then at the end of it, kind of like I'm sure we're going to dive into here today, is like I was spent. And I was just like, you know, let's go sit in a dark room for a while. I'm very introverted. It's like, let's go sit in a dark room for a while and recharge for 4 days. But you know, then there's this whole other thing about, you know, how I think about launching and availability and all the other stuff. But I can't tell you how many times that I talk to people and they're like, I'm so done with launching. And the reason for it is these reasons that we're talking about here, is like they're burned out. They're tired of the launch roller coaster that people call it, meaning like, all right, cart's open, but then it's like, wait, it's not happening. And so then they just hit super low. And then, you know, it's like up and down. But I would love to hear how you think about launching and going from this overwhelm and complication and stress to something that is not that.
Well, Rick, you said some very important things there. You're an introvert. Yeah. And so I think about it like you get to decide, you get to pick and choose your battles, right? So
sure.
I think launching is one not for the faint of heart.
Yeah.
But, and it's not for everybody, just like entrepreneurship is not for everybody, but it also doesn't have to mean that it's this overwhelming, dreadful, arduous task that we don't do ever. And the way that I think about it, I personally think about launching like a party. Mm. It is the event itself, the conversion event is a big party that I'm throwing a set of people who want to come. So like if you're having a toga party or if you're having a Halloween party, you want to be thoughtful about the theme. You want to be thoughtful about the time. You want to be thoughtful about who you're going to invite, the food selection, the DJ, all of that. And literally all of those things that I'm saying there, we can parallel to some aspect of the launch. The venue, are we doing Zoom? Are we doing a Facebook group? The goodie bags, what are your handouts going to be? Like the time of day depends on who's coming. Like, is it a day wedding? Is it a night wedding? So I think for me, one of the biggest shifts when I really started to think about launching as a party, it became something that I looked forward to doing. When we think about, let's look at a big party that a lot of people have had or will have in their life, a wedding. It is something that we go in knowing we're going to spend time, we're going to spend money. There's going to be a lot of moving pieces, a lot of things to coordinate, a lot of people typically. And we understand that we may be tired or exhausted at the end, but we still want to do it. Why? Mm-hmm. Because we want to share this memory. We want to share this moment with people. We just want to share time. And it's like, that's when a person can get, first of all, that we actually want to do the launch. If we do, like we always had that option.
Sure.
And why we're doing it, and that it's for both of us. I think sometimes we get in this space of, I'm doing this to get clients. And then it becomes this needy, graspy thing. And then that puts us in this energy of, it has to work or else.
Yeah. And that, I mean, so many people that I talk to or even work with, I think it falls under that, where they put so much pressure on, this launch needs to perform because of XYZ. And that just amplifies every, like all of the stress that they're feeling. So when you say, all right, it needs to be about both of us, like let's unpack that a little bit. And I know that like what comes up for me is sort of the obvious, like, okay, we have to make sure that we're thinking first about helping our people. But is there more to it from like this party, you know, analogy that you're talking about, which I love.
Well, I've been obsessed with Indian weddings lately. I don't know why, but if you think of the Indian culture, they have, it's a multi-day event versus most of us in the Western culture. It's one day, a few hours. Yep. And when I think about it has to be for both of us, I think about it like that. So the Western culture wedding one day versus the Indian wedding multiple days, that's like your webinar versus your challenge, multiple day challenge, for example. And I typically wouldn't recommend that a person such as yourself who considers themselves to be an introvert do a multi-day challenge. Why? Because just like you said, at the end of the, all of the interacting with people, we just need to go sit in a corner for 4 days and recover.
Right.
And so that is one of the things that we need to be thoughtful about when we are planning our launches. Like, does it serve me? Does it fit with my energy type? It just on a base level, introvert, extrovert, we can go all the way down the rabbit holes of personality tests, human design, whatever, but introvert, extrovert, do I have the capacity or desire or staying power to engage with people for a long time? So from the event itself, if we choose, and I see this happen all the time to the introverts, they get with somebody who says, you should do a 5-day challenge because that's what I did and that's what works. And this is what made me all the zillions of dollars. And so that poor introvert gets with that extrovert coach usually, and they try. If they can get themselves to do it, then they're toast afterwards. And they're like, that was the worst experience ever. I'm never doing that again. And then the challenge with it becomes that the launch becomes the enemy.
So are we, I mean, is that sort of like the, a checkbox that we need to make sure that we've checked is like, okay, identifying how we identify ourselves as, you know, introvert, extrovert, do we like being able to hold, you know, attention for long periods of time or whatnot? Is that sort of like the first step in this? That's what we need to make sure that we're clear on?
Well, if we back up, the first step is making sure that whatever we're going to do aligns with the offer. And then when we think about the event itself and planning the event, it becomes, okay, first, introvert, extrovert, do I have the energy? Because there are multiple strategies at work. Do I have the energy? Do I have the assets? Do I have the support to implement this strategy? And I like to go with energy first because so many people are talking about burnout after launches. So like, let's talk about energy.
I'm so glad you mentioned that. Like, it all works. That's what I'm trying to like yell from the rooftops here in the show. It all works. It's what aligns with you. Like what, because it's so many people have been taught like this one way to do something, or one way to launch or what have you. And you know, it's like, wait, this is not aligned with what I want to do or what lights me up. And people are afraid to try something else because it's, quote, you know, not within what they've been taught for so many years.
Exactly. And I think it comes with a little bit of trial and error, especially as I know on this podcast, we talk about advanced business owners, but that doesn't mean that we didn't take some of the employee mentality into our business. And so when we're used to working for somebody else, they tell us what to do most of the time. And so it becomes an unlearning process in business that I get to do what I want to. And I get to, with that responsibility also comes the benefit of experimentation. I get to experiment. And I think that's another part of what messes a lot of people up in the launch. First of all, making sure that you choose a strategy that's aligned with you. But the second biggest mistake that I see people making is they're not willing to evaluate what happened afterwards. There's not maybe clear expectations or benchmarks during the process, and then there's no evaluation afterwards. So then what I find people do is they just toss the whole thing and say, oh, well, that didn't work. And I'm like, hold on, partner. Maybe there's a part or a couple of parts of it that didn't work that we can look at. And if you just tweak this and or this over here, it'll start flowing.
Yeah. With what you're referring to right there, are you referring to like the hard data and numbers, or maybe it's and the other, you know, from an energetic standpoint, how we're feeling, like alignment, stress levels, et cetera.
Oh, that's why I love you. It's all it's all of the above, right? Because we're it's the strategy and energy that we bring to it. So you can have somebody give you a perfectly aligned strategy.
Yeah.
They can tell you all of the, they can give you the checklist, give you all the templates, the slide, they can give you all of that. And if you go into it with the energy of this is not going to work, anything negative, it's just not going to work. To me, it's like the person that the pickup artist that tells the nerdy guy what to say. Like, this is the line I use to get all the ladies.
Yeah.
But the guy walks up to the lady and she's like, he's like, she's going to reject me. She's not going to like me. I don't have the great clothes on. Of course, his energy is going to be like, ew, gross. No.
Yeah.
Even though he had the perfect line, the line works perfectly. And so it is a both and. We need to be with the aligned strategy. We have the energy and the mentality behind it that it's going to work. And we want to be aware of what our mile markers are. In the most simplest terms, when I think about a launch event, I am looking at, I call them the five failure points of a launch.
Mm.
Did people see the event? Did they sign up? Did they show up? Did they stay until you made your offer? And did they take you up on the offer? Like in the simplest terms, that's what we're looking at. And when people say it didn't work, I go back and say, wait a minute, what part or parts of it didn't work? And we look at those five areas because it might be that you got people to see or sign up to the event, but they didn't show up. If they didn't show up and consume the content, then they're not going to sign up. Or you were able to get all the way to the point where you made the offer and then they didn't take you up on the offer. So there are definitely things that we can look at individually from a data standpoint that most people don't know to look at, aren't willing to look at because what they make the results mean about themselves. But it really is a hindrance because what I know is we don't get to the iPhone 14 without the first iPhone.
Mm, yeah. That's true. And but most people have a hard time like being okay with that. You know, it's because you said something really, really important in there. You said so much so often, and I did this for years, we make it mean something about ourselves if said launch or whatever promotion or whatever it is doesn't go the way that we want it to. Right. How do we not do that?
It's in the planning phase, really. So we talked about what are some of the things that you do in the beginning is like, okay, what's my personality, preference, strengths, assets, all of those things. But also, I like to fast forward to success. So we fast forward to the end of the launch and we hit our goal, whatever it is. And then we just stop and ask ourselves, how do I think I will feel when I have that six-figure launch or I hit whatever the goal is? Whatever that feeling is that you think, is it successful? I'll feel worthy. I'll feel smart. I'll feel enough. What is that feeling that we're chasing? Because the reason we do all of the things we do is a feeling. I will feel free. Like most of us started the business because I wanted to have freedom. I wanted to feel free. I wanted to feel in control of my destiny. So what is the feeling that we're chasing and how can we access it now? So that we don't need the launch to give it to us.
Mm. Can you repeat that last part? It's really, really important. And for so many of us, it's hard to wrap our head around that. Like, what do you mean we can feel it now so that we don't need, you know what I mean? Like, this is the stuff that I study and I've been studying for so many years now, like it just fascinates me. But yeah. I'm so glad you're bringing it up right now.
Easy to say, hard to do.
Yeah.
Right. Sure. Most people want to just work. Like, just tell me the checklist, tell me the steps. I'll do that because this is the internal work and this is the stuff that'll mess you up. So, when you get to the end of the launch, whatever your goal is, what do you think you will feel? I think I will feel successful. I think I will feel helpful. Right? If I got a certain number of people. So the problem is we wait until the cart closes or the results to feel successful or helpful. And therefore, if we don't feel that, then we turn on ourselves. And that's also why during the middle of the card open, when things dip, people freak the heck out.
Yeah.
Because they're right. So what we want to do is, okay, I think I will feel successful. Okay, in what ways do I already feel successful? Why am I successful now? Oh, I've been able to help hundreds of people. Oh, I was able to successfully transition from a job to a business. Oh, I would like, if you really get your brain to go pick up momentum in that direction, you can think of a lot of reasons why you're already successful. And that is a powerful, person that's in that position.
I want to, like, for those of you listening, I'm like holding up my hand, like my fingers like an inch apart right now on camera. I want to focus on that part where, all right, the whatever people are doing, you know, while card is open, right? So the period between webinar, video, email, whatever it is that people are using to launch their offer, whatever it might be. During that roller coaster time, what do we do with that? What do we do with that where people experience, like, you know, it's everyone says, oh, I had a great first day. And then then like things just died off. And then they continued that, you know, that valley of despair. And then things tick back up oftentimes in the last 24, 36 hours. But so many people, like we all, and I remember this too, like we just get caught up in that middle period and then it's like, oh, this is such a failure.
Well, you kind of answered the question for me, because the thought that I had was, what does this mean? Most of us are not aware of the conversations that we're having in our heads all day. And so in the beginning, when the cart opens and however many people sign up, it's like, yay. And then it slows down. And we're like, boo. And I'm like, okay, what does that mean that you don't have signups in this period of time? Like, what are you making that mean? What is the story that you're telling yourself? Does it mean nobody else is going to sign up? I'm going out of business. I'm a terrible business owner. The last one was a fluke. Like, what are all the sentences? Right. So then if any one of those sentences are running through your mind, you get to question or disprove it. Like, we can't just let those sentences run around like a 2-year-old with a knife. You can't do that. So you got to say, OK, well, what else could it mean? Like, that's because some people talk about reframing. Right. You get one of those things, you know, I'm doomed to fail. And then you're like, no, I'm going to be successful. And that just doesn't work for most of us. So I like to ask the secondary question, what else could that mean? Oh, OK, that might mean that they haven't heard everything they need to hear. That might mean all of the emails didn't go out when they do these updates and they get trapped in the system. That might mean any number of things.
Yeah, messaging
because
is off.
The messaging is slightly off. And when I'm in a calmer state, because I'm like not making it mean that I'm doomed to fail. And I'm like, oh, what else could it mean? When we go through those things now, okay, the messaging might be off. Now I have something that I can do from a more empowered state that may work, rather than, oh, it's not working because I'm a terrible business owner, and change my messaging from that place.
Yeah. I love it. So how are we, maybe outside of, and you kind of mentioned it a little bit too, but I would assume that it's relevant, completely relevant to the rest of our business as well. That voice, that conversation that's going on in our mind about, like you said, you mentioned about, like, you know, the pickup artist or what have you, or if we go into a launch being like, oh, like I hate launches or all this other, you know, how is that showing up in the rest of our business? Like, from like, maybe like a self-sabotage perspective.
Well, I'll tell you what happened to me when I had a launch. I had a 6-figure launch, 102,000. And I remember after that saying, this is awful.
Yeah.
If this is what having the successful business looks like, I don't want to touch that with a 10-foot pole.
Right.
I don't want any parts of that. And then I proceeded to, after delivery, I think I had a significant decrease in my revenue after that in terms of the self-sabotage, because the story was, if this is what success looks like, I don't want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I still wanted to be in business, let's be clear, but I didn't want to do that. All of the, when I say that, all of the work that I had to do, not understanding that I had all these stories running around in my mind and putting so much pressure on the launch itself to feel worthy, to feel successful. And so when I got there and I still felt like myself, I was like, that wasn't worth it. Like, it wasn't worth the work.
Yeah.
And I liken it to that space. I think maybe you'll appreciate this. When you have a major birthday, a major milestone in your birthday, you're like, oh, you're turning 30. Oh, you're turning 40. So it's like 29 and 39. People, you're like, oh, it's going to be great. And then you actually turn 30 or 40 and people are like, how does it feel? The same as it did yesterday.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
And so that, I think, is the best illustration of where we expect that if we make all of this money in our business, we hit whatever landmark that we're trying to, that we will feel different. And that's why I'm so adamant about we have to become aware of how we think this thing is going to make us feel, because I don't want anybody to feel like I did after that.
Were you feeling that consciously or subconsciously?
It was very conscious.
Okay. Yeah,
once it happened, mm-hmm. once the cart was closed, the numbers yep. were in, it was very conscious. It was oh, wow.
I asked that question because when, you know, like so many people's goal, which as I've talked about ad nauseum here in the podcast, $1 million business, you know, like it's BS, you know, but I bought into that too early on. I was like, in order for me to be successful, quote unquote, that's what I have to do. And ran the first 4 years of the business. We were able to do it, which is great. I'm not taking away from that, but at the expense of like a lot of emotional issues, mental issues for me, physical relationship, all this other stuff. And then the revenue for me the next couple of years after that dipped. And I was beating myself up because like, wait a minute, why am I dipping? You know, we're supposed to be going up, right? This is what everybody does. And it wasn't until someone pointed out to me is like, you know what? And it kind of clicked for me all at the same time that I was subconsciously sabotaging my growth, because the subconscious was saying, well, wait a minute, in order for you to hit that number, you needed to experience this, and this. So we don't want to go through that again. This is like my brain talking. We don't want to go through that again. And it wasn't until I realized that and like worked on that part that things started to pick back up, which I've always found fascinating, which is why I asked that question. Was that like a conscious or subconscious feeling after your launch?
Yeah, I think it was conscious just because I do so much mindset work. Mm-hmm. And thankfully, I was in Master Coach training at the time. And so mm-hmm. we were really in our brains at that time. And so when it hit, I was like, everybody help me. I stopped hiring business coaches. I went in life coach, health coach, trauma coach, like all of those kinds of coaches, because I was like, I don't need to do more. I know how to do.
Yeah,
I need to feel more. And it was such a blessing.
Now, you bring up the trauma part. You are a trauma-informed coach. Mm-hmm. How does that come into play here when it comes to launching?
Well, exactly what you were just talking about. We unconsciously sabotage because with the body, the nervous system is trying to keep us alive, is trying to keep us safe. And so somewhere that got patterned into your nervous system, that seven figures or business that's run that way is dangerous. Mm. And so if the whole job of the nervous system is to keep us safe, it's going to keep you away from that.
Yeah.
And so what I found was people were coming to me after launches that did not go well or that were super successful and they couldn't get themselves to launch again or they couldn't hit the numbers again. And what I started doing after I got trauma certified was looking at what are their stress responses. And by the main stress responses in the trauma world are fight, flight, freeze, and fawn. And so when we think about like a practical example of the fighting is, and maybe you've experienced this with your clients too, they come to you for help and then they start resisting everything that you all talk about, or they arguing with you. Yeah. Right. And it's really just an indicator of there's stress here, and this is how I'm responding to the stress. The flight is when they start changing their mind 50 million times, or they just ghost. Mm-hmm. The freeze is they can't make a decision to save their lives, or they might have the copywriter create all of the content, can't push publish, or they keep pushing the date back to the launch.
Yeah.
And then fawn is an interesting one, which is just my mom says, you go along to get along. And it's sometimes we see that as business coaches where it may not be an aligned strategy, but we want to stay a part of the community. We want to have the approval. And so we'll just say yes, and we'll do the things, and it just doesn't work out well for us. And so that's a way of protecting. That's a way of dealing with stress. And so those were some of the things that I saw as I was dealing with people and went to get tools to help, because I'm like, okay, business comes with stress. How do we manage that? How do we deal with it?
Why did you make the decision to focus your expertise on launching specifically?
That's an interesting question. I used to have an alternative fitness event company in the Atlanta area where I used to take women to boutique gyms and studios to learn how to work out besides running and lifting weights. Mm-hmm. And so I was used to producing these events all the time. I just didn't know that those were like basically baby launches. And I remember when I had my coaching business and I kept telling my friend, I'm not a marketer. I'm not a marketer. I'm not a marketer. And he said, would you stop saying that? You considered yourself to be an event promoter or event producer, but that's marketing.
Yeah.
And so as I saw people having trouble filling their coaching practices, I was like, well, all you have to do is throw an event, tell the people what they'll get, and you'll be able to fill your practice. And once I made those two connections, it was like, oh, and we call that launching in this space. And so that's how I shifted. And after I shifted from that, it was more like, oh, okay, I'm a physical therapist by training. I did that for 19 years.
Okay.
And I noticed that there were a lot of people who tried this launching thing and they were having mixed results, horrible results, launch burnout and all of the things. And I was like, I know how to rehab things. Why don't I just create something called launch therapy and you bring me your launch and I can help you figure out why it doesn't feel good and why it's not moving well, which is all I did every day for 19 years as a physical therapist, but on a business.
I love it. So with that, you know, with launch therapy and people bringing you their launches, like what do you see working right now for people in terms of launching?
Yeah, in terms of launching, I am now seeing more people doing paid launches, paid events, as opposed to free events.
Yep.
I am seeing super specific, that was always the thing. Be specific and make sure that it's related to what you want to sell them into.
Yeah.
I'm seeing low pressure. It's like, no pressure, I'm here whenever. What else are we seeing? We are seeing a number of people doing evergreen and automated, but I think that's more in response to, I hate all of the pressure around launching, as opposed to that's really what works, because we know that the conversions on that are still lower. And I'm just seeing some non-traditional, like people just coming up with and doing whatever they want to. And it's not a bad thing. Like, I'm all for experimenting. If it feels good to you, if you get this, ooh, that would be fun. Like, I say, do it. I say, try it. But if you do it, just make sure you have some expectations of, I'm going to do blank and I expect blank result. And these are the parameters, so that in the end, you're like, okay, I did blank. I expected blank result. This is the result I actually got. And these are the variables that if I choose to do it again, these are the variables I'm going to change next time rather than internalizing it.
Yeah. What is something that, like, just outside the box that somebody, like an example of one of those types of launches that people are like, oh, I'm just going to try this. I'm putting you on the spot.
I mean, it doesn't seem out the box now, but it was a couple of years ago when she did it. It was like a podcast series. It was an audio only launch.
Yep.
I love it. That was really fun to watch.
I love stuff like that. And did it do well?
Yeah.
In terms of what they wanted?
Yeah, it did extremely well because people were able to consume it. They didn't have to feel like they had to be there at a certain time to watch live. Actually, it's still working because she gave them lifetime access. So people still come in through it.
So it's a podcast specific, like it's a brand new podcast, but it's like a limited number of episodes. Is that right?
Yep. Teaching, and you cannot search for whatever. It.
Oh, yeah. You can't search
you can't search for it. She promotes it in different places. And it actually wasn't all her content. I was a guest. Yeah. And so she had different people, different experts come. It was
why
summit.
Can't people search for it?
That's a very good question.
I would want
maybe that's part
to
of the
it.
Appeal. I don't know.
Interesting. Yeah. I mean, that's like, I love stuff like that. And you're right. Like people have been doing that for years, and when it makes sense for people, that is something like I suggest they do. I don't remember who it was, but I remember a couple of years ago, I was like, this has, you know, a podcast sort of mini series, if you will, all by itself, standalone, written all over it. Like, this is it right here. But I love that stuff. Well, like, what is your, if you were to do a launch today, what would your party look like?
My party would look like a 3 to 5 day event. These days, it's more like 3 days instead of five.
Yeah.
Just teaching people that launches don't have to be so scary. I actually have it on my website. I did one of these before. I called it the launch clinic.
Yeah.
And I would just run the launch clinic again. Live 3 days. Let's just break down all of the shenanigans around launches. And even if my thing is, I want people to have options and I don't want them to be afraid of anything in their business. So even if a person chooses not to launch after that, it's not because they're disempowered. It's not because they're afraid of it. It's just like, no, thank you.
Yeah. Doesn't feel good. Did you do any, like you mentioned, like the party favors, and that's like, are you doing any kinds of those things?
I like to give away stuff. And I think I got this from, I have a girlfriend who throws this ginormous Christmas party at her house every year. It's the thing. Like, I might secretly fly back up there just for this party. It's an all-day thing to where we get breakfast into the night. There are games. There are door prizes. Like, they buy a crap Sounds ton amazing. Of gift cards. It yeah. is so much fun. And then there, those of us, this is 9 years she's been doing it.
Oh, wow.
I was so sad during the pandemic. But there, we become friends because of this party. And yeah. people fly from New Jersey. It's in Atlanta. Like, it. That kind of feeling. I love for people to feel cared for. We're giving away prizes. It's not just a training. It to me, it's the party. Like, I try to make it more fun. And yeah. I think, and of course, it's valuable too. So sure. I think that combination has made it to where I think the last time I did a launch clinic, I had 50% more signups after day three, which was the last day, than any of the days, because people went into their various groups and was like, she's taking it down on Friday. You need to go. You need right. to get in there.
Yeah.
So
are we talking like three full days or are those?
No. Oh, no, like, no.
I was going to say, hold on a second. That's
no,
a lot
sir.
Of time.
That is a lot of time. I run about 30 to 45 minutes if we get chatty, but usually I run a tight 30, 40 minute.
Okay.
Training Q&A kind of thing.
Facebook group, or does it really matter?
I've done Facebook group and I've done Zoom only.
Okay. And what do you make them, sounds terrible, but like, how do they, let me rephrase that question. How do they win prizes? Do they have to do something or
they have to do the work? There? No, okay. They have to do the work. So there's a short exercise each day that will take 10, maximum 15 minutes to do. I do that yep. intentionally. And they just submit the answer. And when I say the answer, it's a 1, 2, 3 sentence answer. But you need to think about it, or you need sure. to like do something to get to it. And whoever submits all of the homework gets in the prize. I do drawings. That's how we run it.
I love it. I want to finish up with, we talked about it before, but so many people are launching and so much is riding on the launch. Like, it has to work or I have to start offering one-on-one, whatever it might be. You know, like, it's that launch, they're so reliant on it for revenue. And I get it. Like, I've been there, totally understand that.
Yeah.
How are we approaching, like, is there sort of like a, you know, some things that people can do based on around everything that we're talking about here when we're in that sort of situation where we got a launch coming up and like, oh, this has got to work or, you know, XYZ.
So from a mindset perspective, I remember doing something, maybe this will help somebody because I'm a tangible person, but it's also about the energy around it. So I came up with giveaways, like gifts that I wanted my clients to have, and I just bought them ahead of time. And I don't know what it was, but it was like saying to the universe that this is going to happen. Mm. And I was able to give them all out. So that's one thing. Like, it's almost like you're making a commitment that it's going to happen. Yeah. So that's like a tangible, practical, but also kind of energy mindset. But realistically, depending on how long the container is, it's not over until it's over.
Yeah.
And when I say it, and some people feel a certain way about that, I have let people in after we close, like after we started. And that's my prerogative.
Yep.
You know, it depends on the nature of the container and the group dynamics and whatever. I also personally don't just have a group container. I have group and I also do intensives. So my everything is not riding on two or three launches a year. And there was one other, like, I think also there can be a way to structure your program. And again, it depends on what you're offering to where you do launches technically, but it's open all the time. It's open enrollment, but you do right. launches to bring in yep. revenue at specific times. So yep. those are some things that I've done in the past to yep. not put so much on it just from a like dollars and cents perspective. So you yep. don't freak out, because when you're in that freaked out, stressed out mode, you lose access to the prefrontal cortex, which is the part of the brain that helps you really think of these solutions.
Yeah. That doing the, you know, the promos or launches throughout the year, any number of times along with Evergreen and it being open is what I really advocate, you know, in when I'm coaching people and stuff, like, it's because I agree. I'm like, I'm not a fan. I've done a whole episode about it, about like, you know, if you're doing one to two launches a year and that's all you're doing and, you know, it's a disservice to not only yourself, but you're like all this other stuff. And so I'm glad that you bring that up. And these are really tangible ways to like maybe get away from that feeling of, oh, this has to work or, you know, X, Y, Z. I want to make sure people can connect with you, because I know that they're listening right now and they're like, wait, I want more of this. and I'm going to have you back on. If you're up for it, I'm going to have you back on, because I can talk about this stuff forever. And I hear from people all the time that they're struggling. These are the types of things people struggle with all the time. So
let's do it.
How can people connect with you? Where can they connect with you?
Well, I am on Instagram quite a bit. So if you DM me at Tavonna Denise, T-A-V as in Victor, O-N-A-D-E-N-I-S-E, that's the place where we can just chat. I mean, no pressure. No, I just love this stuff. And I yep. love helping people like figure out creative solutions to like, I got to make this work. Or do you really? Or what do you think about that? So I just love chatting in the DMs. And then TavonnaDenise.com if you want the launch clinic.
Okay. Awesome. And it's right there on your site.
Yep. It's right there. They can see a previous version until I decide to do another live one.
Okay. Okay, cool. Awesome. You all, I will link all the links up for Tavonna here in the show notes for today's episode, but Tavonna, thank you so much. Like I said, I'm fascinated by this topic and we can talk about it for days. So we'll have you back on. Thank you for being on here today. I really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you.
All right. Hope you enjoy that one with Tavonna. She is just an amazing person and definitely going to have her back on the show here in actually many times. I can already know that. So if you have not yet left a rating and review for the show over on Apple Podcasts, it is still a very big help. in helping us reach more people with the message here on the podcast. It takes literally 10 seconds. So that would be in the world to me if you'd consider leaving a quick rating and review for the show over on Apple Podcast. And also, if you know somebody, and I know there are a lot of people who struggle with launching, if you know somebody who would benefit from this episode here, please share this with them. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, there's the three little dots next to the episode name. You just click those dots. There's a share option right there. Also, if you're listening on Spotify, for example, there's a share button right on the episode that you're listening right on your phone there. So please consider sharing this episode with friends. I almost said friends and family. Your family probably does not want to hear about launching. Probably has no idea what that is. So yeah, please share the episode. It is super helpful for the podcast overall. And thank you, my friend, as always, for listening to the podcast. I appreciate you. And until next time, be well, and I'll talk to you soon.